It's just after 3. Another hour of Murph and Andy on 1460 KXNO, Des Moines Sports Station.
Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO, your speed taps, speed traps, and strip clubs and more show until 4. Let's get it started now. Keith Murphy, Andy Fales, and Andrew Downs with Trending Iowa.
Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales, home of Central Iowa's largest commercial selection. Visit them today at The Rock.
Trending Iowa, Iowa's Nicholas Bear is expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks after suffering a broken bone in his left pinky finger in a weekend practice. The junior is the reigning Big Ten Sixth Man of the Year after leading the team in rebounding, steals, and block shots while scoring 7.5 points per game.
Energy guy, fan favorite. It's good news that surgery's not needed, that he will be back right about the time, because the Big Ten arrives earlier this season. The conference schedule starts earlier, and you don't want to start that without Bear. The pinky finger on the non-shooting hand, that is one of those things, though, that you don't give any thought to your pinky finger, your pinky toe, until you hit it really good or it's hurting, and then suddenly it's like
that's the whole hand, right.
Trending out with Learfield Sports, which owns the Hawkeye and Cyclone radio networks, will allow internet streaming of games for the first time, meaning you'll now be able to hear every Hawkeye and Cyclone game on your iHeartRadio app.
This is a big deal.
It is.
Gosh, well, you probably know better than we do how many people complain about this. I've complained about it before.
Why haven't they done this already?
I don't know. Felt like they're a little behind the times. But, we carry the Vikings game. We're not legally allowed to stream any NFL games. We can't stream the Cardinals or any MLB team, audio, that sort of a thing. So
they want to force you to their application.
Exactly.
But that's outdated thinking. These days, you have to spread your word any way you can.
That's exactly right, yeah. So we're getting more and more into the the streaming culture, and the iHeartRadio app, News Radio 1040 WHO will have all your Hawkeye games, and 100.3 The Bus will have all your Cyclone games. Finally, Trending Iowa, it's election day. Most metro cities have a city council and or mayoral races, as well as some sales tax increases and bond issues. You can register at your polling place. If you're already registered, you don't need an ID to vote yet. Polls close at 8 o'clock tonight.
I'm going to go vote. I haven't done it yet today, and it kind of I feel incomplete. It makes me a little anxious.
It's a big election in Des Moines. Very big election. You got Christine Hensley's seat is open. She's out of there for the first time in 24 years. You've got a three-way race for that. You got a couple of other seats open as well. Windsor Heights has a big election, too.
Windsor Heights has come up quite a bit on the hashtag speed traps.
Speed cameras are a big issue there.
You see how much money has been spent on these city council elections for a job that pays, what, 25, 26 grand?
Yeah, people lining up, fighting over the chance to do this job. I'm telling you, go to a city council meeting.
I would never do this job.
Oh, my God.
God bless those patriots who do. I wouldn't do it.
That's it for Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales.
All right, the one, the only Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register has just entered the building, has just entered the studio, and has now just sat down. Hello, Tommy.
How are you?
Good. Tommy, do you need to give a shout-out to anybody or anything before we get going? I want to make sure that your mind is clear and everything's good.
Man, maybe Good Sons? I don't know. Maybe
okay, anybody
that.
Else? Anything else? Any other promises you've made? Anything you need to do?
Yeah, my girlfriend's a little pissed off. She wants me to...
I'm trying to help you out here.
Name drop my girl Sammy, our friend Sammy, who's battling for the Laser Rock Girl competition.
Oh, jeez.
See, now I've done my part.
You've done more than enough there, Tommy.
I'm out of here.
Well, hey, it's good to have you here, Tommy. I was going to mention, because this has come up a couple of times in the past couple of weeks, the 9-3 2000 Iowa State football season. This Iowa State team can still get to 9 wins, which is the high bar at Iowa State. But the thing, just in memory, that I kept saying to Andy when this would come up, the big difference I see with this Matt Campbell team versus some of the better Iowa State teams in the Dan McCartney era or the Paul Rhodes era is avoiding being blown out by anyone or not being in the game. And some of these games weren't as bad as I thought. The 3 losses, though... Lost to number 1 Nebraska in Ames, 49-27. So that's a 22-point loss at home. Lost to Texas A&M in Ames, 30-7. So that is a 23-point loss at home, and then lost at Kansas State 56-10. That's a 46-point loss. So you have three losses there that were 20 or more points, and this Iowa State's team, so far, the worst loss is 10 to Texas?
Yeah, I mean, they've lost three games by a combined score of 17 points, I think. And I think the refreshing thing for Iowa State fans, now, yeah, you want to win that game at West Virginia, but all signs pointed in the first half that that was going to be a blowout, that they were just going to get spanked. They got hit right in the mouth early on and fell down. And in the past, you kind of expect that Iowa State to team to kind of go off into the corner, into the fetal position, mm-hmm. and just play dead. But they battled back, they made it a game, and they were in position to win that game. And I think that's a positive sign because, like you said, every Iowa State team so far, every game so far this season, Iowa State has at least been in a really good position to win those games early on.
Let's talk about what happened in that first half, though. Iowa State has been a team that's had trouble stopping the run this year, and they had all kinds of trouble there in the first half. What was West Virginia's game plan, do you think, as they watched all the tape on Iowa State and they came in there thinking, this is how we're going to beat this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were going to try to attack them with the run game, and that was working early on, especially with the fact that Iowa State was without Ray Lima mm-hmm. through, I think, the first one or two series. So they could pretty much do whatever they wanted, and that opened up some big plays for them. But eventually Iowa State, switched out of that three-man front, too, and just started getting stops with the running game. So, you know, with Iowa State, it's tough to kind of pinpoint, you know, one area they're going to attack. You know, oh, we're going to attack them with the run game, or we're just going to go pass heavy, because probably the best thing about that Iowa State defense is they're so versatile in the fact that they can bounce in and out of that three- or four-man front, go with whatever they have to do or have to, I guess, whatever they're being attacked with at that point in the game. They're so versatile in that area.
And each mistake that Iowa State made, that's one of the good things. One of the ways that you can tell this team has improved so much is that you can count the mistakes, right? I mean, you can say that mistake really, really hurt them. You can point to one mistake and as being the culprit for one of the main reasons they lost that game. And one of those mistakes was Kyle Kemp's pass that was intercepted, and it's, you know, they pointed out how it was the same play that had worked earlier in the season for him, but he didn't wait long enough. There wasn't enough separation between his intended target. It was at Montgomery. I don't even remember who it was at this point, but the defender was still right with him when he released that ball.
Yeah, I think
the defender is there to pick it off.
When you go back and look at that game, I mean, there were three or four different plays that really stand out that kind of come back and haunt Iowa State. One's that pick. And then two is that goal line, stand that West Virginia got where Kyle Kemp tried to score.
Just some weird play calling.
Yeah,
there.
And it turns out, you know, we tried asking Kyle Kemp about that in the post game, and we tried asking Matt Campbell about it. Kemp kind of got confused about what player we were talking about, and Campbell didn't want to go into details. But I think last night during the call-in show, Campbell said, hey, that actual one of the runs by Kyle Kemp on the goal line, it was supposed to be a run play for David Montgomery. And I think he had trouble, fielding the snap and kind of fumbled it a little bit and couldn't get it to David. So he ended up taking off. That wasn't what they wanted to do, obviously.
What is the atmosphere like there at West Virginia? Because watching, it throws you a little bit that the stadium looks so similar. I guess it's the same designer.
Same guy,
at Jack Trice Stadium. So you notice that, although I think with some of the renovations, Jack Trice Stadium's nicer than what they have in West Virginia. But what's it like there? Most of us recall the guy in the stands with the rolling rock and just blasted out of his mind and trying to stay awake for the second half.
Yeah, I totally forgot that they could serve alcohol there until we walked up through the stands after the game, saw all the empty beer cans. But you know, it's not a crazy, daunting crowd that you're walking into there. I mean, the weird thing about that is the last couple of times that Iowa State's been there, it's been some kind of cruddy weather, rainy, just kind of depressing mood. But, I think Iowa State walked into that stadium feeling really confident, really good. To me, it was real, you know, watching them come into the stadium, that's when I really noticed the difference in the Paul Rhodes era and the Matt Campbell era. Because I remember 2 years ago, I watched when Paul Rhodes and that team walked into the stadium. That was Paul Rhodes' last game. Mm-hmm. That team, the mood, it was so depressing. It was like walking into a funeral, you know. You knew it was coming to an end. It was sad. You saw people crying, all this. You were kind of like, who knows where the program's going at this point. Now, when they walked in the stadium, it's just excitement, positivity, you know, energetic. You know, it was a totally different feel. And I talked to a few coaches who, you know, a few guys who, you know, just people who were around the program during that last game and this game, and they kind of looked at me and said, like, wow, I can't believe just how it's changed so much in 2 years. So, you know, it's a team that no matter what the energy is that they're walking into, they can kind of create their own excitement.
Todd, you were at the game. What did you think of the atmosphere in Morgantown?
Oh, it was a great atmosphere. And part of the reason I called, I've seen before of West Virginia kind of get the bad rap about being bad fans. They were the most gracious, the most courteous fans I have ever been to. And I've been to all the Big 8, Big 12, or most all of them. The only couple I haven't been to. That's why I wanted to go out to this. I had the time and I had the, you know, wherewithal just to head out. A quick story. I pulled up 3 hours beforehand. I'd driven all night. Rolled down my window, the guy next to me in the street, I said, hey, where do I park? Is this the way to the stadium? He says, there's free parking up here at the Coliseum. Get behind me. I'll lead you there. I got there. He said, you park here because we're going to go park somewhere else. I got there. I went into the Coliseum to go to the restroom. I'm washing my hands. A guy comes up next to me by the sink. He says, hey, from Iowa State. I went, yeah. So I drove all night to get here. He says, oh, my God. I said, by the way, where do I get tickets? He says, you came out here without tickets. I said, yeah. Reaches into his coat. He says, I got these. They're $60 a piece. I'll sell you one for $40. I said, you got it. We go to my car to get the money, and he says, come on, you're with me today. And he fed me. I tailgated with his entire family, all of his friends. There was about 15 people there. We went to the stadium. I had no less than 10 people. This was the weirdest deal. Come up to me, extend their hand, and say, welcome to Morgantown. Thank you for making the trip, or thank you for coming.
That's awesome. Wow. That's really awesome.
It was unbelievable. They were the nicest. I was the only Iowa State guy in my section, and the people, I mean, don't get me wrong, they were full throat when they were on defense or screaming when they scored, but I mean, we chatted throughout the game, and I got some lighthearted ribbon, you know, hey, if you score on this drive, you buy this whole row of beer, you know. But they were the night. People would go come out of their way to walk over and shake my hand and say, hey, welcome, thank you for coming.
That's really good to hear.
Have a safe trip back, and good luck to you guys. You guys got a really good team.
Todd, thank you for sharing that with us. That's great. Thank you. So did you meet all these great people, Tommy?
Yeah, I'm like, where the hell were they when I was walking in the stadium? I would say I saw the flip side of that 2 years ago when I was down on the field for the very end of the game, you know, when Paul Rhodes grabs the hard hat and is hugging all his players and shaking hands. Some of the things I heard from those fans were some of the harshest things I've ever heard fans saying, knowing it was direct at all the coaches, knowing these guys were going to be out of jobs pretty soon. And just
what were they saying?
They were attacking their job security, saying, hey, good luck on the unemployment line. Good luck finding a new job after coaching at Iowa State. And, you know, obviously there were some, you know, other words thrown in there.
And obviously Rhodes is owed like $4 million, yeah, he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think Paul was fine with it, but I think some of the other coaches that were kind of, you know, that left in...
Gets forgotten sometimes, those guys. Okay, so we've heard of two different experiences there, but let's all agree on one thing here, and that is that Mike Gundy is a national treasure.
It just never stopped. Down 10, down 10, down 10. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, you got to... We're down 10 again. How is this happening?
So he just goes to the press conference, tells the story. You got to be bleeping me. I swears right there. Leaves the podium a couple of times. He's entertaining. And he is, man, he is large and in charge at Oklahoma State. That guy, he can coach there probably as long as he wants.
Yeah, well, as long as T-Bone Pickens wants him to coach there.
It's T-Boone, not T-Bone. T-Bone's what happened to me on university last week.
Yeah, T-Boone Pickens. But yeah, the thing about Gundy is he is energetic and engaging with those guys. And, you know, he loves Iowa State right now. What he was saying about Matt Campbell, what he was saying about Joel Wanning, just about Iowa State in general. And even though we couldn't remember Jamie Pollard's name.
Loves him, though.
Obviously loves the guy. But that kind of epitomizes Matt Campbell and Iowa State right now, that people are taking notice of what they're doing and realizing, hey, Iowa State's not just this kind of flash-in-the-pants type deal, you know. They aren't this one-hit wonder of just knocking off, one big opponent. Right now, they're a really good football team, and every team that plays them, they've got to take serious.
Oklahoma State is a touchdown favorite for Iowa State's senior day. How is the matchup? I know Matt Campbell yesterday could not say enough about Oklahoma State's speed, size, and quarterback. That's a lot of concern.
Yeah, but it's nothing new for Iowa State. And you look at, they've already faced some pretty explosive offenses in Oklahoma and Texas Tech and TCU. And the one common denominator in all those games is Iowa State's defense has held them in check. They've slowed them down to pretty much season lows and, you know, total offense, passing yards, rushing yards, touchdowns, everything. So the one trouble that always teams seem to have is Iowa State's defense. Now, it's going to be another big test for them and, another really tough quarterback. The thing is, when you look back on the Oklahoma game, you know, the last time Iowa State faced a really elite quarterback, Baker Mayfield still played a really good game. He got his number. So they're going to have to find a way to slow down Mason Rudolph somehow.
Zach Rudolph, right?
Mason.
I'm sorry. What am I thinking? Zach. Who's Zach Rudolph?
Yeah. NBA player.
There you go. That's right. That's it.
Zach Randolph?
Mason Rudolph. his numbers are fantastic. And I guess one of the things that I have enjoyed about this, really this season, I guess it's Matt Campbell overall, but certainly this season is, you know, back in the McCarney days and the Paul Rhodes days, the Cyclone offenses would just kind of, or the whole team would just kind of demonstrate that classic definition of insanity where they would just do the same thing over and over and over again, somehow expecting a different result. And it wouldn't happen. But I see with the Matt Campbell teams that if something isn't working, he'll change. Whether it's the three-man defensive front, if that's not working, he'll change to a four-man front.
Yeah.
And that works. Or if they have a really bad game and a really bad approach and play calling for the offense against Texas, they will change that up to the next week completely, and that will work. And that's refreshing. That shows me a coaching staff that's just not saying, look, damn it, this will work. I swear it will work eventually. No, they're fluid. They say, you know what, we gotta change things up here. So I'm wondering what you think is going to change coming out of the West Virginia game and then going into Oklahoma State. Do you think they'll stick with a four-man defensive front again? Or are they going to go back to the three-man?
I'm guessing they start with the three-man. I'm guessing they start with the three-man front. If that's not working, go back to the four-man front, because the thing is about that three-man front, at least you're kind of allowing another guy to be able to drop back and protect the pass and maybe control where Mason Rudolph's going to be able to throw.
Well, that's worked more often than it hasn't.
Yeah, and I think right now that's what they feel pretty comfortable with, too. But if it's not working again, at least you can go back to that four-man front. Offensively, you just got to get something more out of that group. It's been a massive struggle. The thing is, the offense has been struggling for a long time now. This is nothing new. It's been wildly inconsistent for a while. The only reason why people are really talking about it right now is the fact that Iowa State lost. And in the past four games, the defense kind of, I guess, masked all the troubles that the offense was having.
Final home game for the seniors. Seems too early, but it is the final home game of the season here coming up Saturday. Joel Lanning and Al Nassar jump to mind because they're local guys who went to Iowa State and did really well What's the legacy of those two, and who else should we really pay attention to here on the final home game?
I mean, obviously, you look at those guys and everything they've been through. They really got this. You know, when I think about Joel Lanning and I think about Alan Lazard, I think about not only the fact that they brought the program back to relevancy, but kept it in the picture during those tough times. Those are the two guys that I think a lot of people kind of grasped onto to kind of say, hey, there's some hope with this program. I mean, for so long, it was like Iowa State football fans were being sold on different things. You know, one year it's the South End Zone. Another year was the fact that Alan Lazard's coming here. Now it's, you know, now people are buying into the fact that they're actually winning. But for a long time, those two guys kind of sold the idea of hope to Iowa State fans that, hey, better days are going to eventually come. Those, to me, those are kind of the, you know, the guys that we're going to look back on and say, hey, they are what kind of turned this program around for Iowa State.
And I think if you're an Iowa State fan, you have to feel the best for Alan Lazard.
Yeah.
Because this is a guy that turned away
everybody,
all those other offers, and could have had so many more opportunities than he ended up with at Iowa State. And he went to Iowa State, and to finally have things working out for him his senior year, you have got to feel so good for him that he doesn't feel like he wasted his
exactly.
chance at college football.
Yeah, and kind of the other guy that I'm probably going to, you know, really think about on that senior day is a guy like Trevor Ryan. He almost epitomizes everything that is Iowa State football right now. A guy that came to the program as a walk-on, fought and earned a scholarship, and now is playing a huge role on this Iowa State team. And he doesn't do anything crazy or flashy. He's just a hard worker.
Good returner, man.
Yeah.
He had a good one the other night.
You know, does all these little things and plays a big role. And for Iowa State, that's the type of team they are right now. They are just this collection of crazy success stories right now. Trevor Ryan, Kyle Kemp, Robbie Garcia, a guy who started on the, you know, began his career on the defensive line, moved to the offensive line. Joel Lanning, who goes from quarterback to linebacker. It's just all these guys who have crazy stories, who are willing to do whatever, whenever to help this team. I mean, Trevor Ryan, outside of the walk-on spot, he's a guy that bounced from running back to wide receiver to running back to wide receiver again, just all these different spots. It's just a collection of guys who are willing to put everything off to the side that a lot of people wouldn't to help get this program back on track.
Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register is in studio. He'll get a $25 gift card from Jethro's Barbecue just for being here and sitting in with the Murph and Andy show. Tommy, when's the last time you had a speeding ticket?
Actually, I just got one in the mail. So,
yeah. That's the kind that doesn't count against your insurance, though.
Yeah, so that's pretty helpful.
From a camera?
Speed camera.
Where? Yeah. Which one was that?
I didn't get a good look. I probably should have, but it will cost me some money in my pocketbook.
Been turned off for a while on the
65
highway,
or 75
right?
bucks, right?
Yeah, yeah, and that's a lot of money that would have gone a long ways at Goodsons.
I know what. Well, I don't think you even spend money there, from what I understand. What do you think of as Speed Trap Iowa?
Windsor Heights, no doubt. I mean, I could go sprinting down the road and get a speeding ticket.
On foot?
Yeah, at one point in my life, not anymore now. But, I mean, God, yeah. I mean, I've been pulled over in Windsor Heights so many times over the years. I mean, I think I was going like a 28 once trying to get home from like a high school dance where I was late getting home. I was trying to beat curfew just in time and just gave my accelerator just a little extra nudge.
Yeah.
And bam, I see the flashing lights. They were waiting for it.
What do you remember about Chris's go-go up in Cambridge?
Oh, wow. I don't even know where to start.
Andy, do you think that's an uncomfortable laugh, or do you think he...
Have you been there before?
No, I haven't, no. I've heard the tales.
Well, we've heard some tales today, too. All right, Tommy, great to see you, and I think you got all the plugs in. I think you're good.
Yeah, I can go now.
I think you're solid. I think you can move on. When we come back on the Murph and Andy Show, it is the play of the day and more.
It's time for the day.
Lions on 2nd and 9 from the Packer 11. Stafford out of the gun. He's got it. Wants to throw. Looking right. Throws. End zone. Did he get it? He did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Marvin Jones. Oh, what a catch. Oh, what a throw. What a catch. What a night so far.
Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO, and getting word of some really sad, tragic news here today from Major League Baseball.
Yeah, Roy Halladay has died in a plane crash in the Gulf of Mexico. He was the only person on board. He had purchased an Icon A5, a small amphibious light sport aircraft, about a month ago. Posted some videos of it. Of himself with it, and apparently he crashed that and died today. He was a fantastic pitcher,
two-time Cy Young winner,
one of the best of his generation. I will always remember him, Cy Young Award winner. I will remember him in one of the best pitchers duels that I've ever seen. The decisive game of the NLCS in 2011, when it was Halladay versus one of his best friends, Chris Carpenter, and Carpenter beat him 1-0 to send the Cardinals to the World Series, and they eventually won. I'm sorry, that wasn't in the NLCS. That was the NLDS that sent them to the NLCS against the Brewers. But that was an amazing game. But he was a fantastic pitcher. Wow.
Roy Doc Halladay, dead at the age of 40. So some sad news out of Major League Baseball today. Let's get some more on the Murph and Andy Show here on 1460 KXNO.
It's time now for more, brought to you by Lithia Volkswagen of Des Moines. This is General Manager Tim Bowes, and I can assure you no dealer in Central Iowa gives you more than Lithia Volkswagen. For now, back to Murph and Andy.
This is Farmers Wave Week in Iowa. That was established 3 years ago by a guy named Todd Collins. It was signed into being, I guess, a declaration by Governor Branstad at the time. That's where you're driving along, got your hand on the top of the steering wheel, you see somebody else come by, you pass them, you raise one finger.
Is that just with guys in trucks?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a rural thing, like, but see, it's definitely a truck thing.
You see, like, motorcyclists, like, if you notice that when two motorcyclists pass each other, they kind of put their hand down and give each other a little wave.
Yeah, the low five.
Yeah, the little low five motorcycle thing. So, like, I don't feel like I could rolling around in my sedan give the farmer's wave.
Yeah, maybe if you live out in the country.
University and, giving the farmer's
wave. I don't know, maybe that, you know, you can't do it there. It's got to be out in the country and preferably in a truck, I think. Then you get the farmer's wave. But there's the Jeep wave, there's the Corvette wave, there's that motorcycle wave. There are all kinds
of waves. What's the Corvette wave?
Guys in Corvettes wave at each other.
Oh, you just wave.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. I saw everybody waving at me. They're like, oh, they're checking out my car. Well, no, they were just doing the Corvette wave.
Yeah. Oh, so you're in a club together. You're in the Corvette club.
Yeah. Are you still in the club?
No, I don't have the Corvette anymore.
Yeah, but you're a previous Corvette owner.
I don't think they recognize that as they're passing me at 60 miles an hour. I'm not wearing like a leather Corvette ball cap. Like some of those guys.
Yeah. I'm not in any club. There's not really any, you know, middle-aged guy clubs.
There's no Mercedes club.
No.
Maybe that's like a three. Give a three. Three-star. Three-pointed star.
I think it's one of these. Yeah, I used to get a lot of fives, the ones, but a lot of times it was people were confused about which finger to use.
Mercedes. You just get the one.
Yeah, give a number three, Murph. Apple's new iPhones have a problem typing lowercase i's. I noticed that today, and it was annoying me. I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Is it the question mark? It makes like a little question mark. I've seen this on Twitter and stuff. Like people are, I keep thinking people are making mistakes.
It was the weirdest thing because I couldn't type a lowercase I. I kept correcting it to an uppercase A.
I'm having this problem.
Question mark. You are having this problem.
Yes.
Too. So I looked it up today. It's just a big old thing. Everybody's having problems with it.
I thought my phone was frying out on me, and I thought, hey, you know, I'm going to have to talk
the problem with the current
cellular
iOS.
about the X.
No, it's not them.
Dang
it's Apple.
Dang.
So you can fix the problem by going into Settings, then General, then Keyboard, then Text Replacement, and replace the uppercase I with lowercase I, or you can just do a Google search, and it'll take you through the whole thing.
Okay, just to make sure I've got it, though, it's just Settings, then General, then Keyboard, then Text Replacement?
Yes, exactly. Okay. You got it all? Or you can just wait for the next update, I guess. Target is going to chill out with its crazy Thanksgiving through Black Friday schedule this year. Last year, they were open from 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving until like midnight on Black Friday. Just nonstop. And their workers just were red-eyed at the end of the shift. So this year, partially because they know it makes them look nice, and then partially because retail sales are just in such a nosedive right now on Black Friday, I assume, they are going to be open at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving, but then close at midnight and stay closed until 6 a.m. on Black Friday, and then they'll stay open until 11 p.m.
Oh, okay.
All right. Early Black Friday deals, though, through Target are already available online. So there's really no reason to do it.
It's not Black Friday anymore. It's like Black November.
It's Black year. Black calendar. It's called buy whatever you want, whenever you want, with no shipping, delivered right to your seated position at any time. That's what it is.
I know.
It's the world that we're in. This day in 1980, Steve McQueen died. Did you ever, was that a, that was big news at the time. I was too young to know that.
It wasn't big news to me. You know, my dad.
Was he a McQueen fan?
He was like a Clint Eastwood guy. I didn't grow up on a lot of Steve McQueen. So I've come to see, you know, how cool he was and
took a lot of cool roles, I guess. The loner.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of loner, a lot of cool roles. He loved to race cars, drive fast, jump motorcycles, all of that kind of stuff. Daniel Craig is often compared to Steve McQueen.
Okay, yeah, so he's 79, he finds out he's got cancer, and he ends up turning to a bunch of real quack cancer cures. Goes down to Mexico, and he's getting like coffee enemas and eating seaweed and all sorts of goofy
trying
stuff.
Anything, man, just trying it to stay alive.
Doesn't work at all, and within a year, he is gone.
Yeah, was it lung cancer? Because he was a big smoker.
I don't remember what type of cancer it was. It was a bad kind.
I'm guessing it
went quick. This day in 1963, love this stat. This is really interesting. Glenn Hall sets. He's a goaltender for the Chicago Blackhawks. He sets what is often considered to be the most unbreakable record in sports. So, in other words, a record. That's not unbreakable due to rules changes, right? I mean, the game hasn't changed so much that you just can't break that record.
Like anymore. Cy Young's 511 wins.
That
which
kind of stuff.
I know the rules haven't necessarily prohibited that from being changed, but it's really hard for anybody to even get to 300 wins now. No one's getting to 400 again, and certainly not 500.
Well, Glenn Hall, I mean, basically all you have to do is keep playing as a goaltender to break his record. Just do pull a Cal Ripken and you'll break it. So Glenn Hall started 502. He played 502 games in goal. That is a record that spans 8 seasons. Okay, now what I mean he played in every game, I don't mean he started the game. I don't mean he just appeared in every game. I mean he played every single minute of every single one of those 502 consecutive games.
For 8 seasons.
In goal, parts of 8 seasons. For 7 consecutive seasons, he played every single minute for 7 consecutive seasons and then parts of another season. And then after he finally did come out, he played all but 9 games over the next 2 seasons.
He played those in traction.
He played it without a mask. That is tough, man. Finally, he had back problems. Yeah, no kidding. The guy played 70 games a season every season for 7 years, 7 plus years, in goal, and never came out. Ever.
Jeez.
And won a Stanley Cup championship for the Blackhawks. That is absolutely amazing. You will never see anything close to that again. Ever. You won't even see a goaltender play 1 season every game in goal.
That does not happen ever?
Never. 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 They don't want to. This day in 1944, FDR is elected to his unprecedented 4th term in office. I can't imagine what it was like for people who didn't like him then.
That's a different way to look at that. Yeah, because
they were in hell.
People love their guy. Like, if he's your guy, if you're like, man, FDR's my man, like, yeah, more FDR, this is great. But yeah, if you don't like the president, like many people don't like President Trump, Many people did not like President Obama.
At the worst, he got him for eight years. Yeah, 12 years he had didn't finish that last term.
Right.
And then it changed right after him. Didn't see it again. Another record you won't see broken. McDonald's is bringing back its wildly popular dollar menu. I got excited about this.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That was big. But I love
dollar cheeseburger. Dollar drink.
The McDouble, the McChicken.
Yeah, I mean, you get the McDouble.
A big deal. It's one fewer piece of cheese than the double cheeseburger.
But it's a
dollar. It was fine.
Small fries.
It was great.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, customers love this. It was a huge success for the customers. Franchise owners hated it.
Money loser.
Big stretched profits way too thin.
Oh.
I don't know that it lost money. Just didn't make enough money. Considering the time and space that went into those value menu items, it wasn't worth it. It's pennies.
But big picture, they're thinking it gets you in there, you buy other things, like, you know, getting gas at a convenience store.
Which is why I would always feel bad when I would drive through the drive-thru or go up to the counter and order nothing but items that were on the dollar menu. I'll take two McDoubles, a McChicken, and a water. And the person be like, all right, you cheap bastard. That's it.
Did it come back to you?
Can I sell you anything?
All right, you cheap bastard. That'll be $3.18.
It was the cheap bastard special. The McDouble, McChicken, small fry, and a water.
That'll be $3.12.
It was $3.12. $3.18 is what it was. But so the dollar menu is coming back. But there's a catch. The items are going to be $1, $2, and $3.
That is so, a catch. That's quite a catch. Yeah, it's a $3. That's like you go to Dollar General. I want dollar items. I don't want $4.
No, they don't have that.
$5 items.
I think they just don't have the 99 cents on them, right? It's just like a flat dollar, a flat $2. I mean, not everything in Dollar General is a dollar.
Well, in my mind, it should be. It's Dollar General.
Can you imagine what they would sell in there, though?
No, it'd be crap. It'd be all crap.
Chinese toys and stuff. That would be it.
Yeah.
The problem with this dollar menu, though, is if something should cost $1.50, they're not going to put it on the dollar menu. They're going to put it on the $2 menu.
It's going to be the $2 menu.
You're like, what? $1.50 for a medium fry? That should be on the dollar. Yeah, it should be $1.49.
What do you think will
be
the dollar? Because this is going to break out early in the new year here. What's going to be on the dollar menu? Like for $1, what can you get?
Well, now that you can do breakfast all day, it'll be like hash browns.
Hamburger is $1.
A hamburger.
Small fries. That's less than $1 now, isn't it?
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to bump everything up to fit these three things.
Then you don't feel like you're getting a deal.
I know. I don't think this is a good deal on the dollar menu.
Well, I told you that there was a catch. But you can say they have a dollar menu again. Not just the pick two for $5. That doesn't seem like that good.
That's too much work.
That's too much.
Yeah, you got to round it up.
That's your more, everybody.
All right, so Ric Flair 30 for 30 is tonight.
Yep, already set the VCR.
Yeah, I am going to watch it now.
Excuse me?
I'm sticking with that term.
Oh, DVR. Yeah, I got you. I am going to watch it now because I saw a lengthy preview. About 10 minutes long. And even though I didn't watch Ric Flair wrestle, I do know who he is. But this has, it's got it all. It's got the
sex, drugs, alcohol.
Yeah. It's got sex, drugs, rock and roll. It's got the bitter ex-wives who should have known better, but still kind of like him, but have to tell you that he's just a terrible father. It's got some children who say they didn't know their dad at all, and he just bought us a bunch of gifts, and we never saw him. He didn't show up at anything, even when he said he would. But then you have, like, one daughter who is now a professional wrestler. She thinks he's awesome.
I didn't see that part yet.
Yeah, so...
He's got a daughter that's a professional wrestler?
Yeah, yeah. So she's...
Was she Nature Girl?
I don't know her name. She was on. She's being interviewed by Jeremy Schapp. So... She has great things to say about him. And then you have the lifestyle with all this crazy amounts of drinking and getting in the ring, and you've got steroids and tanning and hair dye and
lots of
thousands of women.
Lots of dye.
Said it's got it all.
Said he had 15 drinks a day. 15 drinks a day.
Jeez.
Every day.
Was he on a cruise ship every day?
How do you have time? Hang on, man. I got to make another drink.
Did he live at an all-inclusive? Rick, where are you staying?
Just had somebody my house, bringing him drinks. I mean, 15 drinks a day? That's all he would be. He'd been peeing all the time.
Well, he nearly died a few months ago. Oh, yeah. He's probably all worn out.
I think he's probably nearly died more than once. That's my guess. But I think this is just, this is a perfect formula for a 30 for 30.
Yeah, and maybe even in a way, I'll enjoy it more because I don't have expectations because I don't know any of this stuff. I mean, I don't know.
Haven't you seen any documentary ever on a professional wrestler, though?
I saw Mickey Rourke in The Fictional Wrestler, which ended up being kind of a sad story. Those guys going around to those fan appearance things.
Yeah,
and
that was
really depressing.
Yeah.
And the end of it's depressing.
Didn't you see the one on Jake the Snake, though, the documentary that they had done?
I did see the one after Jake the Snake was in studio with us. I watched...
There'll be a little of that in this.
Okay, I did watch the one where, and we had Dallas Diamond Page on, too. And
yeah,
Dallas,
right.
Dallas Diamond Page is working with these ex-wrestlers, teaching them yoga and trying to get them sober and get their bodies back in shape because they're all a mess. Because even though this is all, these are skits and sketches and it's all choreographed, they still beat their bodies up something terrible. So a lot of them are a mess.
No doubt about it. And I think Ric Flair was, I mean, he was in that business for decades. I remember him when I was a little kid wrestling at the Chase in St. Louis. And then all the way until, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, he was probably still doing stuff.
Back that long ago. With the AD squared as Dion claps back.
This is 1460 KXNO.
Let me tell you what I love most about shaving with Harry's razors. I just love the feel of that nice, heavy metal handle.
Well, that is nice, but it's not as nice for me as going to the front door, opening the mailbox, and finding new razors.
Harry's stripped out the unnecessary stuff, the vibrating handle, the heated blades, the 15 lubricating strips, features like that, and the unnecessary cost to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price.
We have a trial set available for you at a great, affordable deal. The weighted ergonomic handle, the precision blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, the shave gel, and the travel blade cover. And for those of you still on the fence, it's all 100% quality guaranteed.
Harry's is so confident you'll love their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer for fans of this show, go to harrys.com right now. Enter the code KXNO at checkout to get the free post-shave balm. That's harrys.com, code KXNO.
Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO on a Tuesday. Time for the Andrew Downs audio drop of the day. It's the AD squared.
Yeah, a lot of people are a big fan of what Tony Romo has done in the analyst chair for CBS on the NFL broadcast. A lot of people really, really like him. One person who's not so big of a fan, his coworker at CBS, Deion Sanders, who didn't like what Romo had to say Sunday and came back pretty hard.
Peters doesn't want to tackle. That's one of the things. He's really good out there at the corner off coverage, but in tackling, and he makes Deion Sanders look good at tackling sometimes.
See, Tony, I tried my best to take the high road. I don't know the address to the high road, so I got to come at you, man. 10 years as a starter, you're 2-4 in the playoffs. You ain't won nothing. I tried to bury the hatchet. Both of us work for CBS. I went and shook your hand and say, Tony, you're doing a great job this year. I thought that would be it. But nevertheless, you keep on shooting at me. Tony, what's going on, man? I got a gold jacket that I didn't buy. Dak says hi and bye. Tony, leave me alone, man. I got a lot of ammunition, man. How many interceptions? 19 in 2012? Come on, man. You threw to everybody but me. Tony, come on, man. You know you never won the big one. You know you never won the big one. So stop, man. Leave me alone. I tried to take the high road, but I don't know the address.
Well, it wasn't nearly as funny as some of the guys are just falling over laughing at that. But, yeah, I guess that's what you get from Deion Sanders. That's a disproportionate response, though, because Deion himself has joked many times about how he was paid to cover, not to tackle. I mean, he did not tackle people.
And it did not matter because he's still the best cornerback to ever play in the NFL.
Best at coverage.
He's incredible.
So if Tony Romo is saying, as an analyst during a game, He makes Deion Sanders look like a good tackler. It's kind of a clever point. Deion comes back much stronger than Romo's comment.
Yeah, he's clearly sick of hearing that, but I mean, yeah, Deion Sanders had no peer.
Is there a history there that I don't
know? There must be, because he references it a couple of times. I tried to bury the hatchet. Yeah. You keep shooting at me. But yeah, if there's one person you don't want to get in a war of words with, it's probably Deion Sanders.
Right, in a compare my career to your career. Deion Sanders was absolutely incredible.
He was great. He did not tackle. He did stay away from tackling, which was the point of comparison there, but
well, that didn't matter.
We have a quickie poll at KXNO.com and other platforms.
Which team needs a win more Saturday? Is it Iowa State or Iowa? Iowa State is your leader right now. 62% say they need that win at or versus Oklahoma State.
The Royal Mile inbox is mainly dedicated to what today, would you say, AD?
Strip clubs, small town Iowa strip clubs.
Yes, we did. We have had some speed trap talk, though. Rex says it's Polk City. That is the speed trap, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Cy Booty points out that everything is $1 at Dollar Tree.
Dollar Tree.
Not Dollar General, but a Dollar Tree. If you're looking for dollar stuff...
There you go.
Dollar Tree. Okay. I can't imagine. Now, there's some stuff. About, oh, toothpaste for a dollar. This is great. Candy bar, dollar. Oh, pop, dollar. Mm-hmm. But
roller skates, yeah, dollar.
You don't want like a dollar television, I don't think.
Mattress.
You want one, but.
Mattress, yeah.
Jordan writes that Iowa State has a realistic shot at the title game if the Cyclones win this weekend. Yeah, they do. Got to beat Oklahoma State and have a shot to do that. The Sports Fanatics are up next. What will Iowa and Iowa State's records be at the end of the season? The Fanatics will debate that next on 1460 KXNO.